And the angel said that day, and to you is born this day in the city of David. Unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And I want you to focus on the word Christ. The word in the original for Jewish, it'd say Messiah. The word Messiah and Christ is the same thing. But here's the point as we open today. They were expecting him. When you say Messiah to the Jewish people in the time of Christ, they knew about the dynasty of David. They were expecting the Messiah. They were expecting the Christ. Maybe not the shepherds in the field that night, but it had been announced in advance that God was going to send the Messiah. Someone from King David's dynasty was coming to the earth to reign on a throne in Jerusalem. I spent the first two parts of this Christmas series focusing on King David's dynasty. Today I want to focus specifically on the prophetic events that led up to the first advent, the first coming. We call it Christmas. But I want to tell you what you don't know about Christmas. While remembering the traditions, I want to tell you what you don't know. You will never understand the King and the kingdom of Jesus, the coming kingdom, until you understand God's promises to King David, a dynasty of kings, which is why I've done this three-part series, so that you'll have the background to understand. In the same way, you will never understand the real meaning of Christmas until you come to grips with a word, one word, a prophetic word, a word that comes from God through the prophet Isaiah, Emmanuel. And if I went around the room right now, got in your face and said, in 5 seconds, tell me the definition of the word Emmanuel. Go. Some of you would run from me in that moment. What would you say? Do you know the word? Do you know what it means? So I'm going to give you the gist of today's message and then explain the real meaning. Emmanuel is the fulfillment of the King David prophecy dynasty. Emmanuel is the fulfillment of King David's dynasty. I begin today with the word itself, Emmanuel. Do you? Do you know what it means? Do you think as a follower of Christ, you ought to know what Emmanuel means? It's his name. Do you understand this was Jesus' name before Jesus was given the name Jesus? This was his name, Emmanuel. And over and over and over, in fact, we'll close with it today, people are singing a song. In fact, I've kind of concluded it's one of the most played songs at Christmas. What? O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Do you understand that sentence? Why, maybe in the beginning of time, before Jesus' birth, people were thinking that. Oh, come, Emmanuel, because the word, its origin is about 750 years before Christ. You will never understand Christmas until you understand Emmanuel. I say it again, Emmanuel is the fulfillment of King David's dynasty. Today I use Emmanuel as the grand finale conclusion of this Dynasty of David series. The revelation of Emmanuel begins with a Jewish king named Ahaz. King Ahaz is the 13th king in the line of David. There are 22 kings in the line of David. Ahaz is king 13. Over a period of 420 years, Ahaz is number 13 in the line. Ahaz was king in Jerusalem in Judah around 750 years before Christ. And guess who the prophet is during the time of King Ahaz? His name is Isaiah. As the dynasty of Egypt was collapsing, if you look at human history, as the dynasty of Egypt was collapsing, God sends a prophet Isaiah. We focused on it for the last 2 weeks. And the prophet Isaiah says what? For to us a child is born. Who is he? To us a son is given. Who is he? And he'll be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And to the extent of his government, his kingdom, there's no end. He's eternal. And he'll sit on David's throne forever. Who is he? King Ahaz is the king when Isaiah makes that prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. But if Isaiah is chronological, and I believe for the most part it is, then chapter 7 needs to be read before. So before a child is born, chapter 9, Isaiah's prophecy, you would need to go to Isaiah 7, Isaiah's prophecy, and find the word Emmanuel. Isaiah, we know this, he prophesied more about the coming of Christ than any Old Testament prophet. If you want to truly understand Christmas, if you want to truly understand Emmanuel, you must start here. Here's the characters, King Ahaz and the prophet Isaiah, 750 years before Jesus is born. King Ahaz is the king in Jerusalem, but something's happening. There is a battle between King Ahaz in the south and the king of Israel to the north. Now, I need to explain the context. Israel is a divided nation in the story as we begin today. There are 10 tribes to the north and 2 tribes to the south, the 12 tribes of Israel. The 2 tribes to the south, King Ahaz and the line of David is to the south. That's where Jerusalem is located. But there are 10 tribes in the north. And if that's so, they're already divided, the north and the south. But then the northern kingdom wants to come and take control of the southern kingdom, including Jerusalem. So they make a military and political alliance with Syria, Damascus, Syria. Interesting to me that just Damascus and Syria are still in the news today. Did you read just Friday? Just Friday, the United States launched military operations in Syria and attacked ISIS posts in Syria. So Syria's still a nation. Damascus is still a city. So when we get to this story today where we're looking for the word Emmanuel, Israel, the northern 10 tribes, have formed a political military alliance with Syria to invade Jerusalem. They're going to invade Jerusalem. The king of Israel is in Samaria, that's to the north. And the king of Syria, which is in Damascus, they're going to come and make war against Judah, that's the southern kingdom, and take Jerusalem. This is important. Not just take Jerusalem, but we're going to insert our own king in Jerusalem. Now, this is 13 kings into the David dynasty. And there's a spiritual power trying to stop the David dynasty. So this spiritual power finds its origin now in this attempt to overthrow the kingdom in Jerusalem. Now, I give you all that background. When King Ahaz, he heard about the coming invasion from the north, he goes into a panic. Why? Judah to the south is two tribes. Two of the 12 tribes is Judah. 10 tribes are the tribes to the north. They're more than Judah. And now the northern 10 tribes have formed a military alliance with Syria, which brings an even bigger army. Now this huge army is planning to invade Jerusalem, and Jerusalem's king Ahaz hears about the invasion. Okay, this is where we pick up the story. Isaiah 7, verse 2. The news had come to the royal court of Judah. Syria is allied with Israel against us. So the hearts of the king and his people trembled with fear, like trees shaking in a storm. God knows the future, and God knows, and God is going to use this scene to reveal something. Something that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. He knows what's happening in Damascus and Jerusalem. None of this is a surprise to him. He also knows that in its origins, this is a spiritual war that's taking place on the earth. How to stop the dynasty of kings from happening. Israel's trouble with Damascus and Syria to the north is not something new. And as a side note, do you know this same prophet Isaiah prophesied one day the city of Damascus, perhaps the oldest continuous city on the earth, one day Damascus would disappear and be totally destroyed? Do you know that? Just as a side note, let me show that to you. Isaiah 17. This message came to me, Isaiah, concerning Damascus. Look, the city of Damascus will disappear. It will become a heap of ruins. So this prophet Isaiah gets these words from God. Now let's go back to the original word Emmanuel. Emmanuel is the fulfillment of the King David dynasty. God summons the prophet Isaiah and tells him to deliver a comforting message to King Ahaz. And what's all this got to do with Christmas? O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. And what does it have to do with King David's dynasty? I told you last week at the end of the message that you know what they were saying when Jesus walked into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? He's going to die on the cross that week. What are the people saying? Hosanna, son of David. Hosanna, son of David. Hosanna, son of David. Hosanna means save us. Save us, you from the dynasty of David. They were expecting him. They were looking for him. They were anticipating his arrival. Hosanna, son of David. What does this have to do with us? Everything. So let's go to verse 4. Tell him to stop worrying. This is a word from God to King Ahaz. King Ahaz is shaking like a tree. Why? There's a vast army about to invade Jerusalem. Tell him to stop worrying. Tell him he doesn't need to fear the fierce anger of those two burned out embers. King Rezin of Syria and Pekah, son of Remaliah, he's the king of Israel. Yes, the kings of Syria and Israel are plotting against him. Yes, it's true. They're planning to invade you, Jerusalem. Yep, it's their plan. We will attack Judah and capture it for ourselves. Listen carefully, church. And then we will install the son of Tabeel as Judah's king. You know what that would mean? They would have to unseat the king from the dynasty of David for this to happen. They'd have to take off the dynasty of David bloodline king and put on some pagan king. But verse 7, look at verse 7. I love this verse. But this is what the sovereign Lord says. the invasion will never happen. It will never take place. Now, if you're the king of Judah, and Isaiah the prophet gives you this message from God, what would you do? What would you do? I mean, you have all of your military intelligence tells you that there's a war coming, that they have assembled for war in the north with a massive army, and they're making their way to Jerusalem. And then there's this one guy, Isaiah, the prophet of God, says, God told me, chill out, it'll never happen. Have a nice day. What would you do? Would you believe Isaiah? I propose a bigger question. What's God going to do? If it's not going to happen, how is it not going to happen? What is God going to do? Here's where the story gets interesting. God then sends Isaiah to King Ahaz again with an unusual request. I find it unusual. And what does this have to do with the 750 year before Christ? What does this ancient story have to do with Christmas? Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. And what does it have to do with King David's dynasty? Hosanna, son of David. Hosanna, son of David. Stay with me. I want to tell you what you don't know about Christmas. I want to tell you what the history is. That's where we're going in this Old Testament story. But I want to tell you about the prophecy, what he announced is coming in our future, both today. God asked King Ahaz to do what you would think you should never do. Are you ready? Here we go, verse 10. Later, the Lord sent this message to King Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign. Ask God for a confirmation. Now, you got to understand, ask for a sign of what? Ask for a sign that God will stop the army from invading Jerusalem. God, Isaiah said earlier, it will never happen. It will never take place. The invasion will never come. Ask God for a sign. Make it as difficult as you want. This is God through Isaiah to King Ahaz. Ask God for a sign confirming that you're not going to be attacked. It can be as high as the heavens or as low as hell itself. Ask for a sign. Doesn't matter how big it is. Ask for a sign, a confirmation that the invasion will never take place. In fact, let me make it specific. Ask for something confirming God's promise to save Jerusalem and to save the dynasty of the king in Jerusalem, which is the dynasty of David. A confirming sign that this invasion from the north, Damascus and Israel, will never take place. Make it as difficult as you want. Now, there's some precedent here. If you know anything about biblical Old Testament history, you remember King Hezekiah? King Hezekiah, he's in a similar position that the prophet says, ask for a sign that God's going to do what he told you he's going to do. Go on, ask for a sign. What did Hezekiah ask for? Make the sun go backwards in the sky. Whoa, that's big. Okay, that's a big one. What did God do? He made the sun go backwards in the sky. They had a sundial there in his place, and it went backwards. So this is not unheard of, but now he's offering this to King Ahaz. Go on and ask me for a sign to prove that Jerusalem and the kingdom that's in Jerusalem, the dynasty of David, is secure. They're not going to be able to come and take it away. As high as the heavens, as deep as hell itself, ask me. So let me put you in the story. What would you do? Have you ever asked God for a sign? Don't tell me you haven't, because you probably have. Lord, show me that what you said is true. Show me, prove to me that what you said is true. What would you do? Would you be afraid to ask for such a sign from God? Do you think God knows that this offer for a sign is going to terrify King Ahaz? And what does this story have to do with Christmas, preacher? O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. And what does it have to do with King David's dynasty? Hosanna, son of David. Now, I realize some of you are getting this, and some of you are not. I just ask, please listen. Maybe the Lord will give you ears to hear. Do you want to go deep in the search for the secrets of the kingdom of God, or is shallow okay for you? And the reason I ask you that question is this simple truth. The Bible says this clearly. To know the Word is to know Jesus. And to know Jesus, the Son, is to know the Father. And to know the Father is eternal life. So when I say, do you want to go deep and search for the mysteries of Scripture, or is shallow okay for you? Do you want to know eternal life? Verse 12. He's offered a sign, but the king refused. No, he said, I will not test the Lord like that. Do you think God saw that one coming? God sees everything coming. The scriptures do say, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Where have we heard that? That's in the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, right? Jesus quotes to Satan, thou shalt not put the Lord your God to the test. So this King Ahaz says, nope, I don't want to do it. So here it comes. Here comes the big event. Here comes Emmanuel. So God says, I'll do it myself. You don't want to ask for a sign bigger than heaven? Deeper than hell, I'll give you a sign myself. I will give you a sign to prove that I will forever protect Jerusalem and I will forever protect the kingdom that I plan for Jerusalem, a king and a kingdom in Jerusalem. I'll give you a sign. You don't want to do one? I'll do it. God will use this event to reveal something that will not only confirm his presence in Jerusalem then, but also reveal the salvation of the entire world in future generations. God is going to reveal the fulfillment of David's dynasty. God is going to reveal, listen, the fulfillment of David's dynasty will be Emmanuel. And let me translate that sentence. David's dynasty in the Old Testament is 22 kings over 420 years. And then the last king, Zedekiah, is taken to Babylon. The fulfillment of David's dynasty will be Emmanuel. The fulfillment of David's dynasty will be not a man sitting on a throne in Jerusalem. Are you ready? God will sit on the throne in Jerusalem. That's what Emmanuel means. God will sit on the throne in Jerusalem. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Are you ready? What does this have to do with Christmas? Hosanna, son of David. Some were expecting him then, and listen, some are expecting him now. Remember, this is 750 years before Jesus is born in Bethlehem. Verse 13. Then Isaiah said, listen well, you royal family of David. Isn't it enough to exhaust human patience? Must you exhaust the patience of my God as well? What's the frustration? I told you, ask for a sign. Make it as high as the heaven, low as hell itself. Ask for a sign that I'm not going to let the northern kingdom destroy Jerusalem. Ask for a sign. They won't do it. I'll give you a sign. You frustrate me. All right, then, verse 14. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. And we'll call him Emmanuel. And just in case you struggle with what the word means, I'll put it in here. Which means God. God is with us. Do you understand the significance of what just happened? What God just said to King Ahaz through the prophet Isaiah 750 years before Christ? God will give. God will announce a sign. And what's the sign? A virgin will conceive a child. That's not possible. Is that high enough for you? Would this sign cause you to believe? This virgin will not just conceive a child. I'll be specific. It'll be a male child. It'll be a boy. And did I mention she's a virgin? It's hard to get over the first point. That's never happened. But it did happen. But not just any male child. Are you ready? He will be called Emmanuel, which means God. This virgin will give birth to God. And God will sit on this throne in Jerusalem, fulfilling the David dynasty. God will do it. The fulfillment of King David's dynasty will be the son of a virgin. His name is Emmanuel, and God himself will be the fulfillment of the dynasty of David, a king and a kingdom on this earth. Do you believe it? Did they believe it? This is 750 years before the first Christmas, and God is announcing a sign that is higher than the heavens, more powerful than hail. Do you want proof that God is going to protect Jerusalem from enemy invaders from the north? Do you want proof that God has a plan to establish an eternal kingdom and a king in Jerusalem? His name is Emmanuel. God will do it himself. There will be 22 kings in the lineage of David. They will be gone, and at some point, God himself will ascend to the throne in Jerusalem, and a kingdom will begin that's never going to end. Do you believe it? No, I just like Christmas. I like all the gifts. God will be the king. Are you ready? God will be the king who saves Jerusalem. God will be born of a virgin from the seed of King David. The royal line, Joseph, is in the royal line of David. God will be born of a virgin, the seed of King David. In fact, Isaiah's prophecy says, "Listen well, you royal seed of David." It must be Jerusalem. This is what God told King Solomon about God's name and God's throne in Jerusalem, the first king from the dynasty of David. Here's what God told him, 1 Kings 9:3. The Lord said to him, we're talking about Solomon, King Solomon, "I have heard your prayer and your petition. I have set this temple," which is in Jerusalem, "I have set this temple apart to be holy. This place you have built where my name," God's name, Emmanuel, "will be honored forever. I will always watch over it, for it is dear to my heart." There is a spirit war trying to stop the dynasty of David. I've talked about it for the last 2 weeks. The spirit war manifests itself in Asherah and Molech and Chemosh. Can you see why God is so passionate to protect Jerusalem? God has placed his name there forever. His name is there. His throne is destined to be there. In 2 Kings 21, I just pull this out as an example. Another one of these kings, King Manasseh, he's in Jerusalem. He's a rotten king. He's a rotten king. Let me show why he's a rotten king. Verse 7, Manasseh even made a carved image of Asherah. Here's the spiritual war, trying to stop the dynasty of David. And I need to say something before I read this. The spiritual realm cannot stop God from doing what God's going to do. So what he does instead is he gets people to not believe that it's real. He can't stop God, but he can stop you from believing all the prophecies that God has revealed through his word. And I wonder how many people so far in the story right now you really believe this. I do. I always wonder that when I preach. Here's the bad king. Manasseh, he's the king of Judah in Jerusalem. He's in the bloodline of David. He made a carved image of Asherah. That's a false god working for Satan. He made a carved image of Asherah and set it up in the temple, the very place the Lord had told David and his son Solomon, my name will be honored forever in this temple and in Jerusalem, the city I have chosen from among all the tribes of Israel. There's a spiritual war. Maybe it can't stop God from doing what it's doing, but I can mess up Manasseh. I can mess up the king. I can mess up the people around the king. Have them worship an Asherah instead of God. King David took Jerusalem. Where did Jerusalem come from? Do you know that? Has Jerusalem always been in the family of Abraham? No. Jerusalem belonged to the Jebusites. King David took Jerusalem from the Jebusites, and then God claimed it for his name, and then God claimed it for his throne forever. The city of Jerusalem has been the capital of Israel since the time of King David. Let me read it to you. 1 Kings 2:45. But King Solomon, the son of David, will be blessed, and David's throne will remain secure before the Lord. What's that last word? Forever. Now let's go back to King Ahaz. It's 750 years before the first Christmas, and God is announcing a sign that is higher than the heavens and more powerful than the grave. The demonic realm will not be able to stop it. Emmanuel. God is with us. Emmanuel. God, do you understand what it means? God is going to at some point become a man. Are you with me? Y'all giving me that look. Sometimes you give me that look. Like, God is going to become a man. Emmanuel. There's going to be a king on David's throne in Jerusalem. God is going to become a man. God would himself fulfill the dynasty of David, a king who would defend Jerusalem from enemy forever. Verse 7, let me read it again. But this is what the sovereign Lord says. This invasion will never happen. It will never take place. The word that created the universe was going to become flesh. The word that created the universe was going to become flesh and dwell among us. And this sign is given in a scene in which God tells Judah's king that he himself will defend Jerusalem. The enemy will not take David's throne in Jerusalem. Can your mind grasp this announcement, the significance of this announcement? The rebels of Israel and the rebels of Syria to the north have joined forces against Judah and Jerusalem in the south. And God uses this scene to announce the eternal Davidic kingdom of the coming Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel. A king was coming to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. How could King Ahaz have understood that? I give some grace to a lot of these guys. We've got the whole Bible, and most of us can't comprehend it. How could he have comprehended that? Probably he didn't. So let's do something. Let's fast forward 750 years to a little town called Nazareth. By this time, the northern kingdom of Israel, we're going to fast forward. By this time, we're in Nazareth, just before Jesus is born. And by this time, the kingdom, the northern kingdom of Israel is gone. Gone. And they've been gone for 700 years. You know who took down the northern kingdom of Israel? This is a wonderful point. You know who took down the northern kingdom of Israel? Assyria. The very nation they were willing to partner with to destroy Judah is the nation that took them down and destroyed them. Tell me this isn't a spiritual war. And when we go to Nazareth in the time of Jesus, the southern kingdom of Judah, it's also gone. Both kingdoms, all of Israel's gone. Isaiah the prophet, he's gone. They're all gone. They've been gone for 500 years. 750 years since the announcement, Isaiah's announcement, Emmanuel. To us a child is born. To us a son is given. His name will be Emmanuel. 750 years since God told King Ahaz he would protect Jerusalem. And now, 750 years later, the Babylonians have come to Jerusalem and taken the kingdom from Zedekiah. The Medes and the Persians have come to Jerusalem, and the Greeks have come to Jerusalem. And now, 750 years later, the Roman Empire rules in Jerusalem. They all came to Jerusalem to conquer. Are you ready? And then someone came and conquered them. Always somebody came and conquered them. 750 years after the announcement of Emmanuel and Nazareth, a little town in northern Israel, there are two citizens who will encounter the unstoppable movement of God. Their names are Joseph and Mary. And let me ask you, and this is important. Do they know the prophecy? Are they expecting? Do you know the real story of Christmas? Emmanuel, God is with us. Do you know what it means? Really? Do you understand the significance of that name, that word from God, a sign from God? This was a sign, and this is a sign. And my question is, can everyone read the sign? You can put a sign up all day long. That doesn't mean people will read it, and it certainly doesn't mean people will believe it or obey it. Will everyone understand this sign of God that is higher than the heavens, more powerful than hell? Even the demonic realm cannot stop it. Does everybody? So let's be specific. Will Joseph, the son of David, understand the sign? 750 years before Joseph, the Mary and Joseph, 750 years before Isaiah posts a sign in the universe, Emmanuel. Will Joseph, who happens to be a son of David, understand the sign? Well, let's read and see. What a coincidence. We've got a book. Joseph is a direct descendant of King David. Will he see the sign? Not in the beginning. Matthew 1:19. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man. He did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Now what's going on? Mary has come to Joseph and said, I'm pregnant. God did it. You laugh because so did he, except I don't think he was happily laughing. I'm pregnant. God did it. It's a sign that's higher than the heavens. Nobody's going to believe that. You're a cheater. You've been with a man. But she hadn't. Did Joseph believe the sign? Isaiah's prophecies was written. Joseph had access to it. He's from the family of David. No, he didn't believe. What would it take for Joseph to believe? An angel. Stay with me. He was a good man. He did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Yes, God did do it. She wasn't making it up. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And all of this occurred to fulfill. Are you ready? All of this happened to fulfill the 750-year-old prophecy. The Lord's message through his prophet, look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife, but he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. What was his name before? Emmanuel. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a child, a male child. He will be the fulfillment of David's dynasty. A virgin will have a baby, but not just any baby, but she will give birth to Emmanuel. She will give birth to God. I know that's hard. It's hard for me to even say it, much less comprehend it. A woman will give birth to God. Yes. We sing a song this time of the year. Actually, it's one of my favorite songs, modern songs. Mary, did you know? And there's one line in there that always gets me. Mary, did you know that when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God? A virgin will give birth to God. And God will be the final king. Listen. It's all going somewhere. God will be the final king in the dynasty of David. All of these man kings, they come and they went. But they are all leading to one king that when he comes, he will not leave. He is forever. A virgin will give birth to God. And he will sit on David's throne in Jerusalem. God is with us. God became a man, and that man is our king. His name is Jesus. Do you see the sign? Today, I ask all of you, do you see the sign? Do you understand the significance of this event we call Christmas? I want to show you how the Apostle John describes it. John 1 describes it like this. So the Word, and you got to understand what the Word is. The Word is capitalized because it's a reference to deity. It is a reference to creation, the Creator. The Creator, God, the Creator of the origin of everything, became human. He became Emmanuel. and he made his home among us on planet Earth. He moves from heaven to earth through by way of a virgin's womb. And he was full of unfailing love. Thank you, Lord. And faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. He could have been filled with wrath and anger, but he was filled with love and faithfulness. And we've seen his glory. Whose glory? The glory of the Father's one and only Son. We've seen him. He was physical. He had a body. We got witnesses. We've seen his glory. That's it. That's Christmas. That's the fulfillment of David's dynasty. That's Emmanuel. God became a human and came to the earth. God with us. Hosanna, son of David. Hosanna, son of David. You understand why Jesus walks into Jerusalem that day and everybody shouts, Hosanna, son of David. They were expecting him. They read the prophecies. And yet he was crucified just a few days later. God made his home among us just outside Jerusalem in Bethlehem, at least in the beginning. The Word became human and took on flesh, just like us in every way. Absolutely. The Hebrews said, God made him like us, like man, in every way except one. Except one. He never sinned. Not once. Jesus never sinned. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. He was the perfect man. He was born of a virgin. That was the sign. His father wasn't Adam. He didn't come from Adam. In fact, years ago, this hit me like a rock. I don't know why. I never thought about it until years ago. Pow, one moment. Of all the billions of people who have ever lived on this earth, listen, of all the billions, billions of people who have ever lived since creation, only one is not from Adam. He is Emmanuel. He is the fulfillment of the David dynasty. He will be the final king on the throne in Jerusalem. And he's coming. And he's coming. They were expecting him. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Hosanna, son of David. Hosanna, son of David. Why were they expecting him? They read it in the Word. He came from a different seed, a perfect seed that came from heaven to earth to save us from certain death and destruction. The light of the world to take away the darkness of our sin and death. God came to save us. Hosanna, son of David. But what about the whole dynasty of David thing? How does the church deal with the dynasty of David? It sounds so Jewish. How does the church, us? Well, I'm glad you ask, because the Apostle Paul writes a church, a Gentile church in Philippi, and here's how he explains it. Philippians 2:6. Though he, Jesus, was God. Are you with me? He's Emmanuel. Though he was God, he did not think equality with God something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him a name that is above every name, and that at the very name of Jesus, somebody say the word Jesus. Say the name Jesus. Say the name Jesus. That at the name of Jesus, every knee's going to bow. It's the highest name ever given anywhere in creation. Just saying the name will drive all humanity to their knees. That at the very name of Jesus, every knee will bow. In heaven, they will bow. On earth, they will bow. Under the earth, they will bow. Everywhere, they will bow. And for a season, you don't have to, but one day you will. Now you only do it because you believe and desire to. But here's my question. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. But here's the question. Maybe it's five questions. Why would he do it? I get the whole who he is thing. I do. Why would he do it? Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of the David dynasty. He's God. He's in heaven. He's not on a tree with nails and blood. Why would he do it? Why would Jesus humble himself and die on a cross? Why? Why would the king be willing to die on a cross? Why would God become flesh? It doesn't sound attractive. Why would he become flesh and be willing to die on a cross? Why would Emmanuel come and allow himself to be mocked and spit upon and crucified like a common criminal? Can you answer those questions on this Christmas week in the midst of all the distractions of this life? Can you answer the questions? Why? The answer in the simplest forms, Hebrews 12, verse 2. Because of the joy awaiting him. Listen, here's the main point in closing. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. You know what they're saying? He knew what was on the other side. He knew. Because of the joy awaiting him on the other side, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now, what's on the other side? He's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Next verse. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Go ahead. Is there one more? And after all, you have not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. Do you see it? Jesus knew there was something big on the other side of the cross. There's this one verse in Ecclesiastes that's always stuck with me. I think Chad talked about it a couple of months ago. God has placed eternity in our hearts. Do you know what that verse means? Somehow he's revealed to us that this isn't it. I wasn't created for this life. I was created for the life that's on the other side of the cross. I'm just temporarily a pilgrim in this life. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross because he already knew what was on the other side. Jesus knew there was something incredible, big on the other side of the cross. The dynasty of David is, listen, the dynasty of David is on the other side of the cross. Some of you would say, well, where's the throne and where's Jerusalem and where's Jesus? It's on the other side of the cross. Stay with me. The kingdom was on the other side of the cross, on the other side of the grave. Jesus had to go through the cross and through the grave to sit at the right hand of the Father. He couldn't sit at the right hand of the Father until he went through the cross and he went through the grave. But the church is now filled with people who don't, you'd love this idea of heaven. You love the idea of sitting with the Father in the eternal kingdom of Christ. But you don't want to have anything to do with the cross. Because the cross is hard. The cross is self-denial. It is bringing yourself down when you want to raise yourself up. It's putting others ahead of you. Everything Jesus did, you don't want to do. But I'd like to sit in the eternal kingdom with the Father. It's on the other side of the cross. It's the same for you and I. The king and the kingdom are on the other side of the cross. On the other side of the grave. Let me just make it simple. Matthew 16:24. Jesus says to his disciples, If any of you wants to be my followers, if you want to get to where Jesus is, you'll have to follow him. You're not going to get to where he is without following him. It's kind of logical. Any of you wants to be my disciples, you have to follow. Be my follower. You must turn from your self-centered life, your selfish ways. You can't be your own God. Sorry, doesn't work. You must take up your cross and just simply follow me. If you try, now what's the consequences if I don't? If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose your life. But if you give up your life for my sake, you'll save your life. And what's the eternal consequence? And what would you benefit in this life if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? The king and the kingdom are on the other side of the cross. And I've often thought, if you were to sum up the New Testament, you know what the New Testament, if I had to sum up the New Testament in two words, you know what they'd be? Follow me. Just do what I did. You'll get where I am. Follow me. Deny yourself, take up a cross, and follow me. I'd see Jesus raising from the dead, turn into all humanity, and say, follow me. Why is that so hard? Because the moment you begin following him, everyone around you will be going in a different direction than you are. And that in itself is hard. Because the world is not following him, and nor will they follow him. They follow a different God, the God of this world, who is trying his very best since the beginning of time to thwart God's plan to redeem mankind. He cannot thwart God's plan. He cannot stop the dynasty of David. There is a king and a kingdom coming to Jerusalem. Unstoppable. You know what he can do? He can keep you from being part of it. He can keep you from being part of it. And he's good at it. And he's good at it. The New Jerusalem is on the other side of the cross, and King Jesus will be there to defend it forever and ever. But you must deny yourself and take up his cross by faith. That's what it is. It's by faith. Jesus is Emmanuel. In fact, Jesus' name was Emmanuel before his name was Jesus. And he is the fulfillment of the dynasty of David, and the throne of Jesus will be in Jerusalem. Yes, on this present earth, for all who will deny their self-centered lives and take up their cross to follow him. Now, here's my closing. Do you remember the context of this sign of God from heaven? Jerusalem and the dynasty of David, they were being threatened by the enemy kingdom of Damascus. And what was God's answer to the prophet Isaiah? I want to read it from the New American Standard. Put it up here. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, it shall not come to pass. Today I declare to you a truth. There is an enemy power from Satan that plans to put his name and his kingdom in Jerusalem today. It shall not stand and it shall not come to pass. The spirit of Antichrist has been trying to stop the church, the body of Christ, for 2,000 years now. It shall not stand and it shall not come to pass. Saul tried to kill David. A tormenting spirit tried to kill David and stop the dynasty. It shall not stand and it shall not come to pass. The son of David, Solomon, was deceived by demons. He built pagan altars on the Mount of Olives. But even that, it shall not stand, it shall not come to pass. The Antichrist will one day, maybe soon, he will appear, and there will be in the tribulation a rebuilt Jerusalem temple. He will stand on the portico of the rebuilt Jerusalem temple and proclaim that he himself is God. It shall not stand, it will come to pass, but it shall not stand. You know why? because his arrival will also precede the return of Christ himself. And let me tell you what that looks like. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Don't you remember that I told you about all this when I was with you? And you know what's holding him, Antichrist. You know what's holding him back. For he, the Antichrist, can be revealed only when his time comes. And for this lawlessness is already at work secretly. It will remain secret until the one who is the church, who is holding it back, is taken out of the way. And then, after the church is taken out of the way, which is the rapture, then, the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will kill him. How? A rocket? No. With the breath of his mouth, and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. He will kill the Antichrist because he has arrived on the earth. Emmanuel is here in Jerusalem. I use this, and let me jump past that. I want to go to those five items, guys, up top. Those five items in yellow. There we go. Let me wrap this up. Would you believe an angel if an angel told you? Would you believe it if the angel's word were written in a book and God protected it and gave it to you over generations? Do you believe the signs? Here we go. This is what Gabriel told Mary. I'm amazed so many people don't know this. You will conceive and give birth to a son and name him Jesus. Right? That's an easy one. Churches are reading this all over the world today. Finished? Anybody argue with that? Please don't stand up and say you're the guy. Number two, he'll be very great and he'll be called the Son of the Most High. Right? That's why you're here, right? He's very great. He's called the Son of the Most High. That's two of the five. Angel gave this to Gabriel. But what's number three? The Lord God will give him the throne of David in Jerusalem. He's not in Jerusalem on the throne. He's going to be. And much of the church sees Christianity as a historical event and refuses to prepare for the king and the kingdom that's coming. Number four, he will reign over Israel from Jerusalem forever. It's coming soon. His kingdom will never end, and when it begins, it will never end. Revelation 22:16. By the way, Revelation 22 is the last chapter in the Bible. What would be his parting words, Jesus? I, Jesus, have sent my angel. Would you believe an angel? To give you this message for the churches. Is that clear enough? What's the message for the church in the closing of the book? I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne. I am the bright morning star. He's the heir to the throne. Where's the throne? It's in Jerusalem. It's on this present earth. David's throne's not in heaven. It's here. Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to give you one last statement. Are you preparing for the arrival of this king? You think at Christmas time, maybe you ought to be like preparing for the arrival of the king? Maybe these words, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Maybe these words, Hosanna, son of David. Hosanna, son of David, save me. Save me, Lord. I am a wretched sinner. Save me. O King of Israel, save me. Now here's the last line, and I guarantee you, you've never heard this in the Christmas sermon. Do you know what the last recorded story of Jesus is in the Gospel of Luke before he enters Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? Do you know what the last recorded story of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, before he enters Jerusalem to Hosanna, son of David, Hosanna, son of David, tell them to stop. If they stop, the rocks will cry out, Hosanna, son of David, Hosanna, son of David. You know what the last words in Luke's gospel before that happens? He tells a story. And the story's about a man of royalty going off for a long time to be crowned king. And he told them, I'll be back when I'm king. And several of the people, there were 10 of them, several of them spent the rest of their lives preparing for the king's return. But some of them didn't. And I want to read to you what the end of that story is. Here, let me put it up here. The king replied, and to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. He says, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'll be the king. I'm going to be the king, okay? Even more will be given if you prepared for his return. But from those who did do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. And here it comes. You've never heard this in a Christmas sermon. And as for those enemies of mine who didn't want me to be their king. This is Jesus telling the story. For all of you in humanity who do not want me to be your king. Okay? Bring them in and execute them right here in front of me. You never heard that in a Christmas sermon. I'll ask Chad to come on out. What does it mean? Does everybody go to heaven? You know who's going to heaven? The ones who have prepared to meet their king. That your heart is saying right now, today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the power of the flesh, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what we're saying? Hosanna, son of David. Save me. I need you to save me. You have revealed to me my sin. Save me from my sin. I repent of my sin. In dust and ashes, I turn to you and say, Hosanna, son of David. And you know what happens after that? Your whole life is, oh, come, Emmanuel. Oh, come, come. Because I realized this truth. I was not made for this dark world. I was made for whatever you've got planned on the other side of that cross. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And for the joy set before me, I endure the same cross. And I endure because I know that there's something bigger than this life on the other side. And I'm preparing myself and my family and hopefully a few of you to experience what's on the other side of that. And today, we're going to do this. We're going to sing this song, oh come, Emmanuel. And don't even dare say the words unless you're willing to say that with your own heart. And don't say that with your own heart until you have bowed yourself to him. Until you have given your life. You've found the cross of Christ. You must meet him at the cross. You must bow to this king before you meet this king. You must bow to this king before you meet him. And quite frankly, we may all meet him soon. We may all meet him soon. Let's stand.